Welcome to the Dad's Lifting Dads podcast, Mark Dolby. Mark, thank you for coming on and having a conversation with me.
Thank you for having me, bro. I'm really excited to be doing this.
Excellent. I know you what I would call I guess intimately now, after we've spent the past 12 weeks in hibernation together. So shout out to the hibernation challenge. It was a beautiful container of men that came together and yeah, I guess opened up. And for me, seeing you, I guess the way you showed up in that container and had conversations, not just about your experience, but inputting on other people's experience as well. It was something that I was like, okay, I need to have a conversation with you about, because I know you're a dad. So I always kind of from the start wanted to have this conversation with you. So do you want to I guess tell the people listening just a little bit about yourself?
So a little bit of a life story, or I can.
Yeah, a little bit of an origin story.
Yeah, cool. So I grew up just outside of Melbourne in Victoria. And I am one of five. So I've got four sisters and I'm smack in the middle. And my dad was a pilot for Ansett and then various other companies since then. And when I was a teenager, we moved from basically country Victoria to Perth City. So country to the coast. And dad had to move because he was a pilot, got a job over here. I finished my last 3 years of high school in Perth, and that is where I met my first wife at high school. So the old high school sweetheart story. I then moved back to Melbourne to do an apprenticeship, or Geelong actually. And when I was 19, I became a dad to my oldest daughter, Tommy J. So young dad, first year apprentice. And did that, navigated that. And then when I finished my apprenticeship, we moved back to Perth when my wife was pregnant with my second daughter, Michaela. And we have basically lived in Perth since then. We can get more into it in the podcast, I guess. But then a year and a half after my second daughter was born, my son, Jordan, was born. And looking at that now, that's a long time ago. My youngest is turning 20 in a couple of months. So,
Wow.
I currently live in Busselton. I remarried 6 or 7 years ago. Now, I know some people might go, "How come you don't know when you're married?" My wife doesn't remember either, so the timeline doesn't really matter, but 6 or 7-ish years, I'm pretty sure it's seven. So we live down in Busselton and my kids all live up in Perth. My daughters live together and my son lives with his girlfriend, and we see each other whenever we can, speak daily. And I guess I've gotten us up to the present in a very short snapshot.
Yeah, beautiful. What was your upbringing like in your relationship with your mum and dad?
It was good. I grew up, I always say this, and I guess it's definitely part of my story because it had a bearing on how I grew up. I grew up in a religious family, Presbyterian, not hardcore, but definitely church every Sunday, no sport on Sunday, those types of things. I digressed a little bit, but my relationship with my mum and dad has always been good. We've never been estranged, or there's only been little kind of arguments, teenage stuff or stupid decisions I was making. And dad being a pilot meant that he was away for kind of 3-4 days at a time sometimes. And he was a very hardworking man. So when he was home, he would also be fabricating as well. So he had two streams of income, and he was an amazing provider. And mum was a stay-at-home mum, and so she ran the house. And a mum of 5 kids, you can imagine it was somewhat stressful doing it on her own from time to time. But overall things were good. Mum died 2 years ago from motor neurons disease, which has been a weird experience. You can't describe it. But since then, my relationship with my dad in particular has gotten very close. We've spoken about it before in the past, but it's, although he is my dad, our roles are very different now. Like, I learn from him, he learns from me. We're mates. There's no kind of disciplinarian or no, I know better than you now. It's just this amazing relationship.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Was it, I guess, growing up with a lot of, I guess, females around, and was your dad, I guess, the only male role model that you had?
Subconsciously, I'd say yes, but my granddad was also a pretty good role model. He was like a gentleman. He died a couple of years ago as well, but there was my granddad, who I saw every couple of months. And because I grew up in the country, the dads of my friends were kind of around keeping us in line and being of varying characters, but mostly good guys.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I'm pretty sure I saw it on your Instagram. There was a, and I only bring this up because a lot of, I guess, men of probably your father's generation and dads of that generation, I guess, aren't open in expressing their emotions and how they feel. But I think mm-hmm. I saw on your Instagram, he sent you, was it a postcard? Like, it was a beautiful written postcard about how he felt about you and then things like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's currently traveling Australia. Solo mission, bought a caravan and a new ute and took off. And before he left, he came down to Busselton because he wanted to put some Ks on his new ute so he could get it serviced and, you know, run it in before he took off. And we had a really good 2 days, and I asked him what he was going to do on his trip, and I said, you've got to do everything. Like, you can't turn down any opportunity. If you think, oh, maybe I want to go swim in that waterfall. Oh, no, the water will be cold or it's scary or whatever. You've just got to do it. And he's been doing that all the way around Australia. And it's really good to see. And I suppose part of that, well, not I suppose, I know because he told me that he thought it was really important that he told all of his kids how he feels while we can still enjoy each other's company. And I think that was, he said that was part of the, you've just got to do it. If you think about it and you go, oh, well, I won't, I just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, I guess when I saw that, it was such a phenomenal thing because it's, mm-hmm. like I said, men of that generation typically, you know, don't outwardly express that emotion, or those feelings or those words to their kids. And I know a lot of them, you know, would say it goes without saying, you know, we provided, we did those things. But yeah, to have that, how did that make you feel? Was it a surprise to you, or was it, I guess, something that, you know, it was good to hear?
It wasn't a surprise, but Matt, it was good to hear that he actually sat down, wrote a letter, posted it, and it, like, without warning, it just arrived. Like, to get something like that from your father was amazing. But he has always been a very open, loving person. He'd always say I love you, always give you a kiss. Like, even now, I'll give him a hug and a kiss, hello, and he was always, like, lovey with my mum as well, very affectionate. Yeah, so it was just good, but not a surprise at all.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
A young dad at 19. Mm. So you would, you know, I guess, you know, if I remember back when I was 19, I, you know, although I didn't feel it at the time and probably didn't want to be it at the time, I recognize it now that I was just a kid at 19. Mm-hmm. So I guess, how was that whole experience? I guess, was it pregnancy planned? Was it, you know, tell me a little bit about that, about how you were feeling, how you were coping with that, because I think, I just can't imagine how, you know, it would have been.
Yeah. So I moved to, I had a, my, girlfriend in high school, but even in high school, it was a high school relationship. So, all the weirdness of the first love and jealousy and that kind of thing, typical teenage relationship. Then when I finished high school, I was offered an apprenticeship at my granddad's business, his old business. He'd sold it. It was in Geelong. And so I ended the relationship and moved to Geelong. And then a year later, my ex-wife moved to Geelong to be with me, and then very unplanned got pregnant, you know, within 2 weeks of 2 weeks of her being in Geelong. And then we got married as well before she had the baby. So it was just whirlwind. And in that first romance love thing where you all, you know, we talked about being together forever, and this kind of just went, okay, well, I guess it's actually happening now. My mum said, being Christian, you got her pregnant, you need to do the right thing. And so that's what I did. And I was a first year apprentice making like less than $200 a week. So I got stuck into work. I would go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would come home sometimes at 10 o'clock at night because the business was busy, and I'd just go, 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 go to make money. But also, I did not handle being a dad at 19 very well at all. It was just, it freaked me out. I'd gone from a year of partying to you're now a dad, home all the time, and it was just, I did not enjoy it. I was not a bad dad. I just tried to avoid being a dad by getting, you know, into work and saying, oh, I'm being a provider.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's, I guess it's difficult. Like being a parent is difficult, and like I said, when you're a kid yourself, to be raising a child, it's an extremely difficult thing, especially if you don't have a, and I'm not saying this was your case, but like I guess a support network around you and a village of, of people around you to help. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's hard for me to understand how it would have been. And it's also, the fact that you threw yourself into work is probably not too dissimilar to how a lot of dads would cope with that. And I think at any age, because it is, there's all of a sudden you've got this another identity that you were this person, but now you're a completely other person in you're a dad. And what does a dad mean? Like, I know for me, my dad never talked about being a dad, so I saw what he did, and he worked a lot. He, didn't talk too much. So I, I guess I role modeled a lot of those things in my early years as well. And I guess had I done that when I had kids, I probably would have kind of churned a similar kind of generation out myself. When, and I probably might be jumping ahead, but I guess when for you was it the moment of, because like you said, you weren't a bad dad, but when did you realize that there you weren't the, I guess, the dad who you wanted to be? Was there kind of a moment in time where you went like, I don't want to be this way anymore. I really want to embrace being a dad and fatherhood. Or did it just happen, I guess, organically over time?
It was a bit of both. So it happened over time. There's key moments in my life where I had these big shifts in mindset due to conversations I had with people and having compassionate, the word has slipped my mind, perspectives, other people's perspectives told to me. And I'm just like, oh, well, game changer. So as those moments happened, I became a more compassionate person, not so selfish. And whilst I was in my first marriage, I was kind of in survival mode because it wasn't an amazing marriage. And there was lots of turmoil, and also like I'm trying to keep her happy. And so I'm not like I'm being a dad, but I'm also on eggshells trying to just keep the marriage together. And then also exploding and probably being part of the reason, or definitely being part of the reason why the marriage didn't work. But then when I left that marriage, I was removed from my kids for 3 months because I was living in Adelaide at the time. They moved back to Perth, and I thought, okay, well, distance is fine for now, and then I moved back to Perth to be with them. And it was then that I really had a big shift in. I saw the upbringing that they'd had up until that point, and I really thought I need to make things different. I need to express to them how proud I am of them. I need them to feel loved. I need them to be, like resilient and all of these things. So that was when I lived by myself. I had a house and they all had their own rooms and they stayed with me every second week because I was working up on the mines at the time. And then, it was kind of, it started in like 2008. And then was just this slow transition until like 2015. And then 2015, I had a huge mindset shift again. And then it was like full noise into making sure my kids know that I love them. amongst other things. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Why was it, I guess, important for you to, for them to know that they were loved? Like, what was pulling you to tell them, to show them? Like, do you feel you weren't doing that before, or was it just something that you, again, was it someone's perspective, or you just had this kind of epiphany of sorts?
It was a culmination of podcasts and my own thought patterns, and I got this mantra in my head that I would just want my kids to be better than I am. And how do I do that? So I thought about my upbringing and what contributed to the more negative aspects of who I was, and my marriage and what contributed to the negative aspects of who I was, and how my behaviors played out. And also being in a stress state, being angry at my kids and putting it on them, there was a guilt behind, like guilt was a motivation as well. And that's the thing that would keep me awake at night. So when I couldn't sleep, you know, I'd be laying in bed and, you know, the thoughts that you've been avoiding all day come into your head. And dad guilt was there all the time. And I thought, well, there's work to be done here. And yeah, I just started dialogue with my kids. I said, do you have any memories growing up where you thought that I was excessive in yelling? Or is there something that you wished that I did that I didn't do that I can now start doing? And just started asking them what they wanted. And to my surprise, I'd been beating myself up for years, and there was like, they, all three of them had two incidents that they really brought up, and that all three were the same incidents. And it was me just being an explosive dick because I couldn't handle my stress at the time.
Yeah, well,
I just swore. I don't know how swearing goes on this podcast, but it just happened.
It's okay. How old were your kids when you started that conversation with them?
I'd say they were all like either pre-teen or just into their teens.
Yeah, wow. I guess to hear you say that, I think it's like a extremely profound thing to do. Because as you were talking, it made me think of a moment when, you know, what I had with Betty when she was two, and I exploded. She was in the bathtub being a kid, doing what kids do, playing, splashing, and it triggered me big time, and I got in her face and I exploded. You know, it was yelling and screaming, and she just sat there, two-year-old just sat there. And it was like her soul spoke to my soul and was like, hey, Dad, you got work to do. You got to work on this stuff. And I think for me, like, it's like that, like I've always said, she was my like biggest trigger for growth because of moments like that. But it's that dad guilt. It's that guilt of being, I'm going to ruin my kids here. You know, am I going to just, do something that cannot be, I guess, irreversed kind of thing? And it's just one of those, I guess it's one of those kind of things where you kind of do something and, have I, you know, ruined my kids for life kind of moment. And it's just, it's interesting as we kind of talk about this, because I shared yesterday a video from Gabor Mate.
Mm.
And he's kind of a well-renowned in regards to trauma and parenting. And, you know, he talked about a moment where he slapped his three-year-old boy across the face. And it was, you know, he, you know, talked about why that happened, and it was a trigger for him for essentially not being, he needed to be loved by his son in that moment because he wasn't loved, you know, when he was a little boy. And just watching that, I was like, because in my head, I like watch all of these, I guess, experts and people, and I just think that they've never, you know, they wouldn't, they're an expert because they've never done something like that, that I would do as a parent kind of thing. But, you know, what a real expert is I guess someone that's embodied it, and not just the good, but the bad, right? So, you know, to fully experience it, to actually talk from a place of wisdom and deep understanding and knowing, you've actually had to have done something, you know, like that. So it's, yeah, and it's neither, it's not about judging what you've done or haven't done, but it's about recognizing that, okay, there's some, I've got to work this out, I've got to understand this. And I think, yeah, for you to be able to open that dialogue with your children is just, yeah, I'm just amazed by it, because I just, it's so, I just can't imagine too many fathers being able to do that. I think a lot of fathers, and I might be stereotyping here, but are stuck in, you know, I guess I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing, and this authoritarian kind of relationship over their kids. Yeah, I guess I want to ask you more about it, but I was like,
do you want me to jump in?
Yeah, go for it. Oh,
yeah, because the thoughts are leaving my memory and I don't want them to.
Go.
So you know this story as well, whether you remember it or not, but I was yelling at my daughter when she was 9, and this is my middle daughter, Michaela, who's just, she's a wild child, and she's a wild woman now, and I absolutely love it. I was yelling at her and losing my shit, and she just looks at me calm as, and just goes, yelling doesn't fix anything. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right. And it's that, at that moment when she was 9, I'm like, okay, I got to work on this yelling thing. And that's also where I thought, a 9-year-old's told me that. What wisdom do children have to teach us? I clearly don't know everything. I've got these traits that I learned from my dad and from my mum and DNA stuff, but I don't know everything. Therefore, I'm just going to ask my kids what they need from me. Because who knows better than them? And sometimes it was ridiculous, but a lot of the time I'm just like, you know, what do you need? Or they go, Dad, I need to do this. Can you help me? And it's, what do you need help with? Why do you need help? Have you tried doing it yourself? And it's understanding how incredibly powerful we are as humans. And that includes children. I don't think we give children enough credit for their young wisdom and untainted by a lifetime of bullshit. So I do think that the kids can be these little gurus for us. And yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, because that's the amount of things that Betty has taught me. And it's because it's like, it's innocence. Children are pure innocence. They're not full of bias. They're not full of hatred. They're not full of any of that stuff. That's all learnt, that stuff. And if we have the willingness to be able to, not even like to ask them is next level, but to just even to just listen and watch them when they're, you know, talking or doing anything, and have the openness to be a student to them. I think it's a real, an experience that a lot of people don't give credit to, because it's like kids are just, you know, what would kids know? And I remember a long time ago seeing a video about, you know, and I don't know how true it was, but like, you know, depending on what you believe, like kids are born like all knowing, and it's essentially they forget it because we shove so much of our stuff onto them. It's a powerful, it is extremely powerful to be able to sit there and to not to just watch your kids, but to learn from your kids. And yeah, I think, like I said, it's next level to be able to have a conversation with them. And I think hearing you speak about it brings me comfort in terms of like, there's like, we're going to make mistakes as parents, but we have the ability to make up for our mistakes as well.
Absolutely.
And I think, it's powerful. I'm trying to work out where to go from here. Do you want to, let's talk about anger a little bit. Because I think it's an emotion that a lot of dads and men feel. It's an emotion a lot of dads and men express quite often in unhealthy ways. What has your experience with anger been like?
Interestingly, my anger, apart from it being a product of suppressing, my granddad and my mum, they were kind of known for having anger issues that they worked through, but there was definitely these bouts of blah, blah, blah. So that's there as well. How I dealt with it for a majority of my life, not well. There was yelling and punching doors and that type of thing. And then I had healthy outlets for it. So jiu-jitsu, a bit of boxing. And then I learned how to play with my anger. So when I'm feeling angry, I remove myself from a situation, and I don't know why, but the shower has always been like my place. So I put the hot water on, I sit on the floor, and I let my anger build, and I let it build, and I play with it, and then I start to express it, and usually it morphs into sadness, and I'll have a cry or a yell or just some primal stuff comes up, and then it builds, and then I regulate it back down so I'm calm again, and then I go back into more of the thinking mind and see if something's still there in the body and just move, and then I might do another wave of it, and that's how I deal with it most of the time. Sometimes the more you work on yourself, you're left with the deepest, biggest grooves and old habits that you need to fill in, and they don't want to leave. They got their claws dug in, and there tends to be a bit of emotion behind that still that I'm trying to work with.
Anger's, it's, I know you and I have discussed anger, Yeah, a number of times because it's something that I deal with and have, yeah, expressed in not so healthy ways. But it's important to, the reason I wanted to talk about it is to hopefully, I guess, normalize it in a sense, because it's not, I think people think there's a, there is, I mean, there is for me stigma attached to anger and expressing anger, because it is such a huge emotion and a powerful emotion. So yeah, I'm glad we could talk about that and have open the dialogue around that.
I think it's important as well, and this is again stereotyping because we both know men that manage these things, but if you're angry and you're seething and it's in and you need to express it, a really important thing is to say to your wife or whoever's there, I'm really angry. I just need to go and deal with this and hope that you get the space to do it. But just that expression of I'm angry brings it into your awareness, and then you can control it more, or at least navigate it. So you've expressed, hey, I'm angry, I need to deal with this. And I just think that one little thing of just that one sentence, I'm angry, I need to deal with it, is so helpful because you're not keeping it inside. It's like that little pressure relief valve of recognition.
I think that's powerful. It's powerful in two ways because it you're right. It lets you release that pressure, and hopefully it does give you that space. But it also it's far better than going into, expressing it and raging it out without kind of communicating that beforehand. So yeah, I think it's a powerful thing, and I think we need to get better at communicating that, and to any loved ones, right? When it does come up, to be able to feel it and not to bury it back down, but to just communicate, hey, I'm feeling this at the moment, I need space. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I think the alternative, like I said, is you either, express it in an unhealthy way or you suppress it, and neither of those are going to be good for you or for the people around you. So yeah. Fatherhood, what does fatherhood mean to you now?
For me personally, at this stage where my kids are all independent and doing their own thing, fatherhood is always being there if and when they need me. Because by this stage, when you've got a basically 20, 21, and 23-year-old all doing their own things, you have no influence anymore, and your good influence or your bad influence kind of has, it's there now, and you have no influence because they're their own people. And part of being there for them if they need it is also constantly reminding them that they are loved, that you are proud of them, and that they, as a person, are so fucking capable. So capable. Like, I go over, not even over the top. Like, I have such belief in my kids that they can do anything that they want to do. That's how I express it. Don't take shit. Do like stand up for yourself, be kind to people, consider other people's feelings when you're coming into interactions with people. But also, like, if you want to do something, do it and try it yourself, which they all do. All of my kids are just if my kids come to me for help, I know that they've gotten to a point where they've run out of their own tools and they just need like one more step. Hey, Dad, what do I do now? And then they go at it again. So it's just respecting them as an individual, but continuing to just verbally and tell them that they're loved and you're proud of them. Because that's such motivation for them. Like, it's just to know that you are loved and that somebody is proud of you no matter what, like, that's a pretty nice foundation to be coming from. And even on your darkest days, you are still loved. That is what being a father now means to me.
Yeah, wow.
Mm.
Wow. And I know you said earlier you talk to your kids every day.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, you decided you wanted to do so you could tell them, you know, that you love them and you're proud of them?
100%. Yeah. Initially it was one of those, like, it was because I'd go away to work for 8 days and not contact them. But I was a different person then. Then I started this habit of every day speak to all of them or at least give them a text, because sometimes they prefer that. But it's just letting them know every day, hey, I'm here, live your life, be the best you can, I love you. And then now they do it back. Like, my son texts me, hey, Dad, sleep well, love you. They send me songs. Like, we send each other songs constantly. And it's my son, who's just turning 20, sends me, and he'll send me like Parkway Drive, or he'll send me Frank Sinatra, or he'll send me like a 15-minute jazz composition. And it's just like, and that is one of the greatest parts of my relationship with him, is our shared love for music.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I think, like, to, I guess, how did you cultivate that with your kids? Is it because do you feel it was because that's the example you're setting and that's how it came through? Or was it, you know, I guess, yeah, how did that all happen? Because I'm hearing this and I'm just like, you know, I'm not saying that it's not normal, but it's like, yeah, wow, that's the kind of, you know, when my kids grow up, I want to have that relationship. So I guess I want the, you know, not the step-by-step guide, but like, help me out, bro. Like,
all right. So, I set that thing to contact them every day. And in the beginning, it felt weird because I didn't do it. It certainly wasn't received. It was an awkward interaction, especially between me and my middle daughter, because she's fiercely independent. And quite honestly, from 14 to 20, an absolute pain in my ass. But through that, and I just wanted that relationship with her. Like, I just kept saying, I love you, you know, all of the good things. And with my oldest, she was the first to come to me and go, hey, Dad, I'm stuck, blah, blah, blah. So I guess just over time, that repetitive, okay, he's actually here for me now. He's here for me. He'll listen to me. He'll give me advice. He leaves me to do my own thing. It's just over time that they will, I guess I'm lucky that they all have come back to me and we have this good relationship. But I'd never held on to that, especially with my middle daughter. because I thought maybe we're just going to have this weird relationship where she's doing her own thing and she's a bit distant. And she doesn't trust me for whatever reason. But when she, in the last 12 months, she's probably who I speak to the most now. She works up on the mines and she'll call me and go, "Hey, Dad, I've had a really crappy day. I don't need you to fix anything. Can you please just let me vent?" And to me, that is, there's no greater privilege than to just listen to her be up and then just wind down to just, "Okay, cool, I'm going to go have dinner now. Love you. Speak to you tomorrow."
Yeah.
I don't know if I've given you a step-by-step. I've just given you an example of why it's the payoff to just, it's, to me, it's just, it's simply letting them know that you love them, that you are proud of them, like actually saying it with words. And it's got to have an effect. It has to have an effect. And I can see the effect for me. Yeah, yeah. For them to feel it from a genuine place.
Yeah. I think there's a few things that I heard. Like you said, it was luck. It's nothing to do with luck. It's persistence. So persistence, pest. You're a pest, but a good pest.
Yeah.
You just kept doing it. Unconditional love. So loving fully without condition. So you said no matter what, you know, if they, and you said your daughter from 14 to in her early 20s was like a really rocky period, right? So, but I'm sure through your actions, you turned up and displayed unconditional love. And that's the thing. You love them, you tell them you're proud of them, but you follow through with that action. And I think that's, you know, it's nothing to do with luck. And yeah, it was not a step by step, but you've proven that if you show up with unconditional love, then and continue to do so through consistency, then beautiful things will happen. And I think that's all we can, I think as parents, that's all we can ever ask for. Because I feel that now, and like it's for me, I know there's going to be a point where, you know, both Betty and Axel are going to be older, and I'll have no, like you said, influence over them, and I'll have to rely on like what I've done in the time that I've had them. But it also, you know, you've reminded me that you don't just switch off when they leave. If anything, and I'm not saying, you know, you weren't going hard before, but you're going harder now as a parent than you might have ever had, you know, had to have before.
Definitely.
It's just very different. So yeah, it's like a lot of things I'm kind of coming together for me. And I've told you this before, like I love speaking with you because it's like I get a look into like a glimpse into the future of what parenting is like, because I can imagine that it's still difficult, but it's difficult in different ways. And you still have to, you know, you don't ever, like, that's the thing. I know my mum says it to me all the time. You don't ever stop being a parent.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the, now as a parent, if you asked me the question, like, what's the most difficult part about being a parent now? It's letting them go completely where they are now, their own person. And you can see that they might be making a mistake. But I mean, to a degree, you've got to let that play out. If there's dangerous behavior, you obviously step in, but it's, I want to get a tattoo on my face. And it's just like, this isn't a thing, by the way, but it's just an example. It's pretty close to that though. And I'm just like, okay, you're going to do what you're going to do, but educate yourself first. Really think this through. you make your own decisions, you have your own thought process, but every action has consequence. And I really just want you to think about the thing that you're doing and then do whatever you want to do. And that's what it's just, please educate yourself. Be educated, make educated decisions. But then, oh, crap, they're probably just going to do their thing anyway. And as a parent, because the role changes, they're now their own, very much their own person that doesn't need much guidance. And it's like, for me, it's like shedding off of that old role and stepping more into the new role of acceptance. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, like in terms of what's the difficult thing about being a parent, because it is now you don't have that influence. And I think you've answered that question beautifully. And it's like you still have a level of guidance and a level of letting the, you know, but there's a level of autonomy that they have and that, you know, they're going to, you know, make those decisions, do those things. But they're also knowing that they're sovereign individuals to do what they're going to do. So yeah, it's like they're not a balancing act, but it's, you need to relinquish some level of, you know, I'm not even going to say control because it's not control.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, that autonomy, I introduced that quite early on, like when my kids were, you know, just before they were teenagers and coming into teenage. It's an example is, hey, Dad, can you help me up into that tree? And just a simple version was, if you can't get up there yourself, you can't get up. And it's that empowers them. And they're just, next minute, they're up the tree. And it's like, well, power move. Like, you just did that on your own. You don't need me. And make these decisions. And that's part of me wanting them to know their own power. And it's like, my daughter was going to a festival, like an underage festival. And because of the relationship we had, she's like, oh, we're going to have a few drinks. And I'm just like, okay. Do you, like, educate yourself, ask questions, because anything you do should be somewhat researched. You don't just go in blind, and especially being 15, like, you can really, excuse me, really hurt yourself. And again, I guess that's just about empowering them. Make whatever decision you want to make, but make it from an educated place. And even that's like back to the drinking thing, because it's a thing with teenagers. My daughter said to me once, what's ecstasy like? Or like, if I go out on the weekend, this is a question. If I went out on the weekend, would you rather I had MDMA or would you rather I got drunk? And I had to think about that. And it's like, obviously I'd rather you didn't do any. However, I'm not an idiot and I don't expect you not to. But educate yourself on both of those things. And me as a parent, honestly, I'm not even going to, it doesn't matter what answer I gave, but the main point is educate yourself before you make a decision. And I'll allow you to make your decisions if you can show me that it's coming from an educated place.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You don't make it sound so easy, but again, I think it's through that, you know, like you said, you instilled that and cultivated that from a very early age. So when those conversations did take place, firstly, those conversations took place. I know for me growing up, I would never have had a conversation like that with my parents. So yeah, I think it's you've got this level of wisdom and understanding as a father that I can only imagine it has come through years of experiencing a lot of things. And it almost goes back to, you know, my Gabor Mate kind of reference earlier. To truly embody and understand fatherhood, you've probably had to go to some really high highs, but also some really low lows as well, and experience the full spectrum of, you know, of beautiful things, but yeah, some really dark things as well. What advice would you give to your 19-year-old self that was just found out he was going to become a dad?
That's make sure your children know that they're loved. That's like the shortest, most important thing for sure. Me talking to all the aspects of me now is difficult enough, but me going back and thinking about 19-year-old me. Yeah. It would also, just pertaining to fatherhood, it's make sure your children know they're loved. I have many other advices for myself at that age.
No, I think it's a powerful message because it can be taken in so many different ways. And, you know, you give that advice with the level of wisdom you have now, how that advice might have been received as your 19-year-old self. It's a hypothetical question really anyway, because we can't do it. But yeah, I think it's, I asked it because I think there's a lot of people that, you know, and my brother was a dad that was a dad early on. And there will be, you know, dads that listen to this that were dads early on and are dads in their teenage years as well. So to be able to hear that, you know, and it's to understand it or to apply it how they feel it needs to be applied. I think it's powerful.
Yeah, start now. Start if you're not doing it already, just start right now. It's never too late.
Yeah, and I think you're a testament to that because, you know, I think, like I said, there's so many things that we do that we think, okay, we've, you know, and there's, you know, a lot in your story that we've talked about that would have been difficult for your kids. You know, growing up with, you know, young parents, you know, going through moving from, you know, one place to another place and different schools and all these different things. And, you know, there would have been a lot of difficulties. But, yeah, and I know, like, to question, you generally question all those things as parents, you know, living apart from mum and dad and the difficulties there. Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the wrong thing? But yeah, I guess you're a testament. It's never, never too late to start. And it's also, you know, it's important to, you know, to continue to pour in and to continue to work on yourself as well as a parent.
Yeah. But one thing that is really important as well is trying to drop the, like, be authoritative but not authoritarian. So it's like have a conversation with your kids because that's going to have much more, it's going to do much more good than this is what you should do, trust me. It's like, what do you think you should do? Why do you think you should do that? And it's just this education, and it trains that part of their brain as well to question and come into inquiry and really work through things and come to a place where they go, okay, this feels good. And when you're having that dialogue with your kids, this feels good for me. Yeah, this feels good for me. Like, this feels good. Or, no, we disagree. Okay, well, we'll just sit with that and whatever. But and it makes parenting easier because you're not clinging on to how your own expectation of yourself and your expectation of your children. You understand that you are yourself and you'll make mistakes, and they are themselves and they'll make mistakes, but they'll also do great things and you will also do great things.
I think, that expectation, and I learned that one the hard way as well. It's you hold on to what it should all look like. Even for me, it was something as simple as going to the gym. I could only go to the gym at a certain time or not with my kids and all this, because I had this expectation of what it used to look like or how it used to be. But that was essentially not acknowledging what the present was, what was in the present. I have kids now. I'm going to go to the gym. I can take my kids because I'm able to do that, and they can watch me because that's what they'll do, and that's okay. It doesn't have to look. And I think parenting, and that's a real kind of simple example, but like we think, there's this, and it's not until you start questioning your own beliefs, and this is a difficult thing, right, that, we hold on to all these expectations of, okay, what I want this to look like, what I want parenting to look like, what I want raising my kids to look like. But it's like kids are the ultimate disruptor. Of anything. But it's a beautiful thing, but it's like viewed in this way of like, bloody kids. Bloody kids have ruined this. The bloody kids have gone and done this. And it's like, because that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. And they're disrupting this expectation you have. But what's your expectation grounded in? Is it grounded in how you grew up? How did that work for you? How were your parents in that? Like, these expectations that we have, what are they based in? And is there evidence that it works? How does it feel for you? Is it working for you and your kids and your wife and whatever? There's coming with inquiry. Oh man, like this is, it's a big topic, but it's questioning why you're doing certain things, especially when they feel hard, shifts that tension very quickly. I had this thought as well about when you, depending on how deep you want to go, and we can talk about quantum theory. So one thing that I have done quite a bit of, when you said your 19-year-old self, when you knew you were going to be a father, I've done meditation and practices where I've actually gone back to my 19-year-old self and other various ages. And I've reassured myself in that time. And the theory is that if you go back, because time is not linear, time is cyclical and everything is happening at once, theoretically. Me supporting my 19-year-old self, me supporting my 10-year-old self and saying, you are loved no matter what, you are powerful, you are going to be a great dad, actually shifts the 19-year-old version of myself and creates a healing timeline through to the present. I know I've gone a little bit deep here, but even if that's not true, if I believe that now, I feel so bolstered that I've now been loved for the past 20 years where I may not have felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that, like, for me to actually feel that good and to be flooded with these chemicals that make me feel loved, well, that's proof that there's a shift there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's just something I wanted to drop.
No, it's beautiful. We went so deep that I heard green sleeves in the background there.
I can't. I don't know how these ice cream men stay in business. I still think it's a laundering front. But every time I hear it, I do want an ice cream.
So we went back to childhood then.
Yeah.
We traveled with you. Yeah, this, we've had it all. We've gone to the quantum. The only thing we haven't had, and we didn't talk about your love of the waterfowl, but we can get that on to my waterfowl podcast on another day.
Thank you for taking that on.
such a powerful, like, we don't, unlike the reality is we don't understand, you know, anything. We understand a finite amount of you know what there is, but it's right, the belief, and you said it right, if you believe that, and it's true in both ways, if you believe something in a positive way, it's going to directly impact you. If you believe something in a negative way, it'll directly impact you. I think it's powerful to hear, because we should believe that we're able to disrupt patterns in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because patterns in the past and things in the past are disrupting the future now. So, you know, how can the opposite not be true? I want to end on a question. What do you want your, and you might know this already because you have this beautiful relationship with your children, but what do you want your kids to say about you as a man, as a father?
It's so simple, like, that he loved me. That's the short version. I often think about this in that, like, if I died tomorrow, this is part of my motivation. If I died tomorrow, do my kids know that they were loved? What's the last thing I said to them? And I think that is what they would say. Or potentially he loved music more than us, but we all loved it, so it's okay. But yeah, he loved me unconditionally, and he was there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I can say that confidently too. Not from a, I think I'm doing an okay job now.
Yeah.
Do you want an ice cream? Because he's back.
He's back. I think, like, for me, it goes back to, you know, what the conversation you had with your dad before he left, you know, to go traveling. You know, it's making sure we're doing the things that we want to do and saying the things that are on our heart to be said. And I think, I love that you say that, and you say it with confidence, because you've instilled this in your children. You've cultivated that in your children. I just think I think we've only scratched the surface of what there was. And I hope we get another opportunity to go deeper and to dive into some other things. But I think, it's a beautiful, a beautiful note to leave on. And I think it's an important message for everyone that does listen to this, that, you know, there's, you know, we are human, we make mistakes, but we have the ability to learn from those mistakes and to, not so much make up for them, but, you know, move forward and, you know, create a beautiful relationship with our kids, no matter what the past looked like, and, you know, the person we were. They're beautiful. Thank you for having this conversation with me.
Thank you for, genuinely stoked that I got to do this. And thank you for doing this too, for all the dads out there.
You're very welcome. I received that.